it'd be my honor to shake your hand. Let's welcome our first-time guest. Amen. Second time, third time, you came back. Amen. Looking around like you're saying, there's a whole bunch of faith in here, Pastor. You got, amen. But we see them, amen. They're coming. First time is also first time service. Amen. Welcome to Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, as just as the video says, and we thank God for it. I want to go ahead and thank our media team. Our media team puts together everything, and if you've ever been back there, they make it look easy, but there's a whole bunch. And right now, it really consists of really one volunteer, and that's Christina, because she's on staff to do our youth ministry and our children's ministry, but she does this in love. Isn't that good? And then Daisy oversees it because she inherited it. And, amen. Let's give them, make sure you let them know that they're blessed. I'm sure they're outside and in the sense of, thank God Christina helped us today. Thank you for making Living Faith part of your Christmas and New Year's Eve celebration. Many of you make Living Faith part of your weekly priority, which I'm so thankful for. We stand on a threshold of just a new year, a brand new year. Isn't that amazing? And I just can't help but to thank God and stand in awe of what all of God's done in our lives as individuals, but as a church also. And so, again, God's been good to us. And so, happy new year. I want you to enjoy the blessings of God this evening, tonight, and just be blessed with your family. Don't get crazy, amen. Do some good stuff, amen, tonight, amen. It doesn't mean you can't stay up late, but don't get crazy on me, amen. I want to hear about you're in jail or something. Give me good amen. Amen. All right. Don't tell me you went to Living Faith if you've been in jail. Is that okay with everybody? All right. Hey, first Wednesday, just a general reminder of that, a friendly reminder. I want to make sure that you come back. Let's begin the new year right by giving the first Wednesday to God. We do this as a love offering. Every Wednesday, first Wednesday of the month, we offer it to God, and we worship God, we pray, we have communion together. So would you come back and join me? I know it might be a little bit cold, but that's okay. Amen. Amen. Amen, Pastor. They'll be better in second service. I'm already warming up today. Amen. Next slide. 21 days of prayer and fasting. We kick off on the 8th, which is not this Monday, but next Monday. And we'll give you further instruction. There's just tons of resource. If you Google 21 days of prayer and fasting, you'll see them. But I want you to choose something, not a resolution, but to revolutionize your life. Because resolutions, they say, by the time that Valentine's Day has come, you're already falling back. You're not going to the gym. You're eating the sweet food again. But if you resolve to do something in God or create a revolution in your life, 21 days of doing something, not necessarily I'm going to weight loss myself or I'm going to do this. It could be food. It could be media, like many of our people have done through the years. But you just do something that's important to you because it's important to God. And 21 days is just something that has always been with us as a church. And we're just getting started. Give me a good amen. It's just going to bless our lives, and we take the lead in that in our community of doing that. I want to thank the Lord. We had over 107 salvations that were registered at Living Faith Church. These are people that committed their lives to Jesus as Savior in 2017. Amen, everybody. To God be the glory, 25 water baptisms. Healings were countless that God has done in our benevolence ministry. And you might say, well, what is that word? It's a word when someone has a need in the church or someone has a need in the community, not overseas, but directly in our community, that over $3,000 were given to that. That's because of your generosity and what you're able to do. Be the church outreach. Over $3,200 were given to that. Be the church that we've done. And we focus on that, on leaving the outsides of the four walls. And so I think we can do better. Amen. You might say that's not much, but it's something in God's hands, right, that you've accomplished together. John Jay Outreach, $847 were given to that. And thank God we spent every nickel on John Jay that was given to that. Is that good with everybody? Yes. And then finally, our missions overseas and even in the city, $6,000 were given towards the missions endeavors, and I'll get that right in a little bit today. And so thank God for the giving that God's done through you and your generosity in that. Amen, everybody? To God be the glory. Yes, Lord, we thank you that people were generous this past year and were able to do more. Should I go ahead and announce that in the second service? Thank y'all, because y'all don't act like anything's been done, okay? I want to make sure I'm up. Man, that was embarrassing. Or don't do it, Pastor, but I want to make sure I'm okay with that. Is that good? Yeah, you're encouraged? Okay, well, help me out, because it's just kind of weird in here now. I don't know, I'm getting this vibe from you. but maybe it's just me. Amen. Okay, good. Hey, a funny joke. Maybe that'll get you happy, okay? Heard a funny story. There's this new minister, and he's hired by the congregation. It was that sort of church, and they hired the pastor, and he did real good. You know, his first Sunday, interview Sunday, they're making sure he's going to not be freaky and do some weird stuff and, you know, bite off chicken heads and, you know, snakes. But he preaches 10 minutes. And the deacons are real excited, man. This guy preached 10 minutes. He's a keeper. We can have sermons. We can be out here at Cowboy game at noontime. Yeah, it'd be good. Second Sunday, he preaches 20. And they go, you know, the religious people got real happy on that because they said, you know, we went long and that way we finally heard from God. We had to hear him in 20 minutes. So everyone's happy now. Everybody loves this guy. The third Sunday, he's hired now, you know, and but he goes an hour and 25 minutes preaching. And that's not even the songs included, amen? So by that time, you know, they're responding. They pull him in the office, you know, the hiree board, and they go, hey, what's wrong with you, man? He said, well, my first Sunday, I was just a little bit nervous, so I preached 10 minutes. My second Sunday, I felt good. I said, I gave them all you had. 20 minutes, you know, sermon. I thought I was perfect. He said, well, what happened to this, right now? You preach an hour and 30 minutes almost. He said, you know what, man, my teeth were missing, so I put my wife's dentures in, and I couldn't just shut up. I just had to keep going. Some of y'all will get that at 3 in the morning, but yeah, it's okay. How many of you know God wants to do a new thing? Amen. Some of y'all think you're funnier than that. Amen. Look at Joe. Amen. That's okay. Yeah, you are in your own head. Amen. That's good. Hey, it's natural to reflect back on what God has done, or to reflect back on this past year and say, look what God has done in our lives. And so I want to ask you to do a spiritual inventory. We look back in our material world and the boss checks how many people were served or how many the products that you made, and y'all take an inventory on that and do that sort of logistics and that sort of thing. But how much time did you spend in God's Word? How consistent were you in your prayer life? And if you're me, you're needing help, amen, because even the pastor has not arrived. Did you witness to anybody about Jesus? Yeah, and amen, good. Did my giving reflect my heart for God? And how was your church and worship priority? What I've noticed is our priority, sometimes even as God's people, do you know this? This is amazing. When a movie theater on the weekends has more people going to it than people go to church. Every weekend they beat the stats. There's never a point the church attendance, even Christmas and Easter, that the point that the movie theater is, they're always winning in their reach in people and people coming in, which is a type of church, by the way, just like a bar is, just like a gathering, because they're going, they're hearing a message, right, everybody? Well, they are, so you can agree with me later, amen? So the movie message, you know, is happening, and do you know what's interesting about movie messages now that you're all in here? People stay till the end. And if you get up and walk out, maybe because Junior has a wet diaper, or you get back in there as soon as you can, right, everybody? Yeah. Because you want it. You pay. Well, I paid for that, Pastor. Well, why is church any different? Why can't we plan ourselves? Why can't you want the best seat in the house? Amen. Amen. Why do we move around? And if I get on the restroom break, I'm going to hurry up and get back in. Because this stuff's eternal, isn't it? It really is. Amen. You want to take, I want to do more than the movie theater. How about you? I want to be that sort of witness to Jesus, but that sort of witness even to my community that I love church and I love being part of Sunday morning. Are you glad you came to Living Faith Church? Amen. This morning, some of y'all ain't. You say, come on, stop messing with me. Now I can't get up. I'm going to have to sit down in my chair. I'm not going to be able to move around. And they got here too late anyway, so they're not going to hear anyway. Give me a good amen. What God wanted for them. I want to do a new commitment towards God. I want to rise higher in the things of God. I want to do greater things in 2018. How about you? Amen. And so if you're constantly looking behind you what's been in the past, you're not going to stay focused on what's ahead and what needs to go forward in your life today. And so what is God's future plans for your life today? When I go into a shopping mall, or I'm at HEB, they play music, and I... I like music just like everyone else in this room. And so they usually don't play K-Love or Christian music at those places. But there's songs that we remember, Golden Oldies, are called Solid Gold or Golden Oldies. Y'all know about those. And there's a song I heard the other day, and it's Fats Domino. And he goes, "You ain't that ashamed." Do y'all remember that one? Amen. It goes like this. You made me cry when I said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? And I know I'm not a good imitation of Fats Domino, but I'm trying up here. And I think the people of Israel lived with the golden oldies of past, but now they had this emergency situation, which usually makes us go back to God. Well, my marriage is failing. I need to get back into church. And then God does something and you still take the cruise control. Or there's healing that's needed in my life because the doctor gave me this bad report. I better get it right. And then there's and you get back. But then you get, and the people of Israel were constantly just putting everything on cruise control once God had blessed them. Well, this time, now they're in all captivity. And they're getting beat and they're getting treated unjustly. And so it's a real big time emergency. So Isaiah 43 on the big screen or in your handout. Are y'all there with me? He says this, forget the former things and do not dwell in the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not what?
Perceive it.
I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland today. That word perceive right there, why don't you underline it in your handout? It's perceive on the very last sentence, right above, before the last sentence. It really means the word, the Hebrew word yada, which means to carefully study, which means to understand and to see it and acknowledge it. And so what is it that you view in your life? Do you see nothing but problems or do you see possibilities? And God would want you to see, based on this verse and His entire love letter to you, which is the Bible, that you would see that there's nothing but possibilities, even if there is problems in your life today. I notice what Isaiah is saying here. I'm making a way in the desert. There's going to be a desert, and there's going to be a wasteland, but there's streams and ways. And so throughout Israel's history, and this is a very bleak period in Israel's life, in Israel, the history of their life, God is bringing hope to you. God is bringing hope to us as a church today that we can have 2018 on the threshold of that and say God has been good. There's three principles about what God can do that I want you to embrace about the new thing that God wants to do in your life today. And so it is with your life. Number one is this. You change your focus and you quit looking back and start looking. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all. Good. And y'all didn't even have the notes in front of you, and you did good. Thank you, Michelle. Give me a good amen. And so forget the former things and do not dwell on the past today. If you want to move towards what God is doing and the new things, you got to learn, I can't depend on past victories to sustain me. I did that last year, but it can't sustain me. I did that a moment ago, but it can't sustain me. As great as that was, it still is not what God wants to do. He wants to do greater things in my life today. Do y'all understand that today? Amen. In your personal life, in your spiritual life, and all of that. The children of Israel, boy, they had a lot of past victories. Remember the Red Sea parted for them? Yeah. They built a great temple. They conquered the land of Canaan. They survived a split, a civil war within their community. Approaching conquerors came and they withheld them. And so now they're in captivity, though. And things are looking bleak for them. And so they need a new victory in their lives. And I think many of you in this room need just a new victory, a new approach in life, because we keep looking back, but God is saying, look forward to what God has for you today. Amen? And so the question isn't what has God done? It must be, what is God doing right now in my life? And what do I need to look forward to with what God has for me? Right, everybody? And so look at all the times again that God gave these precious people, His own chosen people. And we're the same way. We're not any different. They're not these awful people. We can be just as evil as they can. I'm here to encourage you today. Do you feel the love in this room, right? Amen. God gave the Israelites, He gave them a temple. And you know what they did with that temple? They worshiped idols. Sometimes I think our church services really are not about God, they're about us. If we really, really, truly gave ourselves to God, so what if they don't notice the hat that I'm wearing today? So what if they don't notice the new thing that I got on? So what, Mario, if they didn't notice that you preached 10 minutes instead of 20 minutes today? And we make this thing an idol. And all that they did when God built them this great temple, like he built us this great temple, they turned it into an idol. That's why Jesus, when he went into the New Testament, he cleared out all the people that were selling, and they were a den of thieves. They were proselyting the gospel for their own benefit today. May that never be living faith. Lord, save us from that today. Right, everybody? Amen. When God gave them truth, you know what they did? The people of Israel, they proclaimed a lie. They lived a lie. When God gave them the commands, they weren't commands to them. They acted like they were suggestions. God didn't really mean that I should be about that one thing. No, God really meant it. It was a command. When God gave them wealth, you know what they did? They didn't give it back. They exploited the poor. And God gives us, he's generous to us, and we don't even tithe. And God gave him himself, which he did eventually with Jesus, and they did nothing but reject Jesus. Right, everybody? Amen. And so how much more do I not want to be like that? How about you today? Right, everybody? Amen. The children of Israel, based on that, they didn't deserve anything that God would give them anew, afresh. But God still looked at him and he says, I want my hand to still be upon you if you'll let it come to your life today. If you let it come to your nation today. If you let it come to your church today. I still want the hand of God to be on living faith today. Right, everybody? Amen. So I forget the former things. I don't dwell on the past and I see what God is doing today. And so instead of holding on to the hand of hope, which I need of God today, I don't want to push that away. I want to say, God, give me mercy today. So I can walk in the things you want me to walk today. Living faith churches experience great blessings, and that was evident by the video that you saw, the media that you saw, what God had done in our lives, and that was just half of it today. And so I need something fresh from God, just like you do. I need to pursue God. Well, what is it? What is it today? It's kind of like when John, the sons of thunder of Zebedee, And Peter and Andrew, these great fishermen, and that's what they did for a living. They were in nets and fishing and boats, and that was their mainstay and their usual mundane. But Jesus walks by in the Gospels, and it tells us that Jesus says, hey, come follow me, guys, and I'm going to make you fishers of men. And the Bible says this crazy thing, believe it or not, they put down the fishing nets, they left the boats. John and his brothers, the Zebedee brothers, they said, the sons of thunder, Daddy, see you later. This is your business now. We're not going to inherit it. And I think that's kind of crazy. How about you? Amen. Be honest with you. I know it's not spiritual to say that, but I don't understand that. That goes against human thinking. Why would you just suddenly leave this strange, weird rabbi? What if he does something? And he did do something that was kind of awkward at times. But the context of it is where we don't miss what we don't want to miss what God is saying. Why did they just walk away? Well, the context says this, that Jesus went around healing people that were sick. That's polio. I can heal that. That's you have Parkinson's. I can heal that. You have diabetes. I can heal that. I don't think they had that back then. Amen. They weren't eating the foods we were eating. So all these things were healed. Oh, you're demon-possessed. Guy was, vomiting the green orange. The head was spinning around worse than the exorcist. He said, come out, and they came out. The context was they saw Jesus do all this stuff. And they said, certainly, after that, you transform lives, and they're following you. Why wouldn't we want to follow you? Amen. And if you see Jesus in that light, of leaving the former behind and going forward in a transformed life, you'll follow Jesus. Why wouldn't you want that deliverance in your life? Why wouldn't you want to be on the ride, on the journey with God by seeing something like that, folks? Right, everybody? Amen. I would. How about you? I would lay it all down. Some of y'all are still thinking about it. Peter, check this out. Now he's an older man, and he's riding. He's this fisherman still. He's still salty probably a little bit. But God has done something in his mind. God has done something in his heart. And it's not overnight. It's a journey with God. You don't arrive at it all overnight, and thank God for it. And look at Peter now. He's seasoned, a man of God, and he's writing 2 Peter 1:5. Are you there with me? Thank you, two people. Amen. Are y'all there with me? Come on. Thank y'all. Three now. Amen. I'm going to get 50% one day from the first service. But you should try very hard to add goodness to your faith. Notice the progression. Into goodness, add knowledge. Into knowledge, add the ability to what? Control yourself, right? In the ability to control yourself, to add strength to keep going. How many of y'all want to keep going? I do, right, everybody? Into strength, keep going. And add to godliness. And to godliness, add kindness to one another. Why have all this? And if you're still mean as a junkyard dog, right, everybody? Biting everybody. Can't be nice to anybody. Amen. No, add kindness to it. That's for me. Amen. I know I'm mean to everybody. And kindness for one another and love. And all these things, they should describe you. Somebody say, mas y mas. Amen. More and more. Amen. Just interpreting the tongue for you here. Amen. And they will make it useful and fruitful as you know our Lord Jesus Christ better. Somebody say progression.
Progression.
Yeah, you progress in this thing. Let me, nine. But what these things don't describe someone at all is when that person can't see very well. In fact, they are what?
Blind.
And they've forgotten that their past sins have been washed away. I know they're not singing it, but don't you love that song, All My Hope? Amen, that they sing, our worship team, Dave Crowder, right? If it's on K-Love, but we sing it. We do a pretty good cover of that, Roger, by the way, amen. You make them sound just, Roger sings it better than Dave Crowder. Can I say that?
Amen.
Thank you, amen. You got to give him, encourage him, amen. Maybe he'll sing it again, amen. I don't know, amen. But that's just a good, because all my sins have been forgiven. I can go forward. Amen. And what God has done for me. Are you spiritually developing your life? Do you have a plan to do that? Well, that's why I come to church. Yes. Amen. But a disciple keeps following Jesus on Monday. Yeah. And you can rent me on Monday, but I'm like $20 an hour. Is that too cheap for you? Yeah. And I can give you some personal messages, right? The Christian walk is just this divine progression that you just keep going forward. And there's a great distance now between what happened last year, what's about to end in 2017, and what you need to move forward to in spiritual maturity in the time that we have today. God's eternal, but our time isn't right now in this earth. And so Peter and Andrew, because they obeyed Jesus, they changed history. And they changed every person in this room. One man can affect a multitude of people and generation and legacy. See, your obedience to God and your progression and what you want to do with your spiritual life, you may not see it on this earth, but it's going to last a legacy time if you just keep going forward. Quit looking behind, quit looking back, and look forward to what God has for you. Somebody wake up, amen. It's okay to be awake in church, right? The second thing that I want you to embrace is that God wants for your life is clarify your focus and discover what God wants for you today. Very singular here, very purpose-driven, and it's just for you in this life. The former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert. In springs in the wasteland. Somebody say way in the desert. What does that mean? There is desert experiences for all of us in this room. It's so dry, my spiritual walk, but God still makes a way. My finances are very dry. It's a desert experience. We don't have enough, but God still makes a way. Didn't he in 2017? That's why you're here today, I think. Because there's been more blessing than sorrow. Yeah. I could go off, but I don't want to. He talks about these streams in the wasteland. And where it's just where newness comes. And it shows me that every believer will walk through hard times, oppressive times. The waste. The things that aren't pleasant. But God still brings a purifying river and a stream even in those hard times. Are you listening to me today, church? Amen.
Yeah.
And so it's just, well, we're getting what we deserve because we were like the children of Israel. No, we get the hand of God. God still gives us a stream. He still makes a way for us because he's that sort of good father to us. Right, everybody?
Amen.
And you may feel like your past is a wasteland, but God can give you a stream of life today. There was these three bricklayer guys, and they're laying bricks. They're building a building. And the first bricklayer, they ask him, hey, what are you doing, Mac? And the first bricklayer says, you know what, I'm laying bricks. Just laying bricks. The second bricklayer says, I'm making $17.50 an hour. Ain't that good? And the third bricklayer, they said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral for God. Because he saw really just doing the brickwork. And he saw past what he was making, the chump change. And he saw that he was doing something eternally significant in his life. And if you'll clarify your focus, you'll discover what God has for you. I'm just raising these kids. No, you're building warriors for God. You're building the next generation for Jesus. Yeah. I'm just singing a song. No, you're singing with the angels of God. Amen. And you're doing it, and what an honor it is to be on the platform when he could have chosen anybody else, but he chose you. Humble yourself in the sight of God. Right, everybody? And so clarify your vision and discover what God wants for you today. In 2 Corinthians, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, why don't we read it together? You haven't had any fun all day, Living Faith. I've been just treating you real mean, and I know you need to smile. So 2 Corinthians, are y'all there with me? Do you have your message notes? Yeah. Those of you who are on asleep, amen, let's read this together. 2 Corinthians 3, 17. 1, 2, 3, go. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and we're the... There is freedom. I sure do need your help, bro. Amen. You have a loud voice. You do up here, so be back there too. Come on. Yeah. Now, see, when you don't do what I say, I preach a lot longer. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His image, into an ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Some Christians have taken this, well, there's liberty, I can do whatever I want. No, you have liberty to serve God even more, not to do that nonsense, to get that evil thing that you were doing. No, you don't have liberty to do that today. In the Bible, the days of this passage when it was written, they didn't have mirrors like we do in the restroom, or those nice shiny mirrors that you have on your little thing that you get ready with in the morning. And is it a glam? It's a glam room, isn't it, that you have? Amen. A glam room. Just trying to help myself up here. They had highly polished just silver and polished metal. That they would, and it was still distorted, because if you ever polished metal, you can look at it, but it's still, and so when the people would look at themselves to see if they had any nose hair sticking out that they needed to trim, right, or their ear hair had grown, amen, stuff's happening to me now that I'm getting older, amen, hair's falling out up here, but it's growing here, amen, so y'all have heard that, right, and so that polished silver would be a distorted gem, and they would say, one day, we're going to see ourselves really how we should look like, and we don't have that theology or that thinking here, because we look at ourselves too much now. But they were saying, one day we're going to look like Jesus. If we keep walking with God, if we keep doing the things of God, if we keep discovering and clarifying the vision that God has for us today. Amen. If you let God take those desert areas of your life, the streams, the wasteland today, God can give you a field of abundance, a field of blessing in your life today. But you got to clarify your focus. The greatest step that you can take is this third one today. Embrace the new thing that God has for your life by committing. Commit. Somebody say, commit yourself to God's plan. Stay committed for the long haul. Stay committed to the things that God has for you today. There's this difference between a tourist and a traveler. See, a traveler will walk in and he'll explore the place, but he's there really for the long haul. He travels the nation. He hikes from place to place. He learns the language. He learns the custom because he's a traveler. And he wants to learn. If they set something in front of him to eat because he wants to experience the culture and be enveloped by it, he'll sit down and he'll eat it. See, a tourist is a little bit different. They're there for a marked time. Not a traveler, but a tourist will say, hey, we got this all-inclusive resort thing, but it ends in 5 days. And so we're going to take up this, we're going to take up that, we're going to do this, we're going to skydive, we're going to do all this stuff because it's going to end in 5 days. They maybe take their dictionary of translated words, or they Google it, and they say, how do you say this? And, you know, because they go through the little shops and they order. They come back maybe from their vacation, their phone is full of photographs, You know what I'm saying? They come back and they've tasted certain foods, but they stayed away. By the way, a tourist, when they go to reside, they go to sleep back in their comfy place that's familiar to home, the nice five-star hotel. But the traveler, he'll bunk with the people that invited him, man. They're there for that semester. They're there to learn the cultures of that. And a disciple is much like a traveler, because a disciple of Jesus will walk in and he'll do what the master tells him to do. He'll walk with Jesus. He'll be submitted to Jesus. And he may never return because he loves it so much. And if he comes back, check this out. If a traveler comes back after staying there a season, they're forever changed because they've been marked by a foreign culture and that's gotten into them. Yeah. And that's what I believe God wants. He wants that sort of commitment from us. Get in it for the long haul. Well, right now my marriage is having some trouble, but stay committed to it. Be the husband that you're supposed to be. Be the wife that you're supposed to be. Endure that thing. You know what I've noticed about Irma and I's marriage after about 25 years? That, yeah, we still argue about stupid things, and we still argue about that, and we look back, why did we argue about that? Let's make up. It's a lot better to make up than to be fighting. Amen? But the whole thing about if we just endure each other, we're going to make it. Give me a good amen. Should it be that much fun, Pastor? Amen. It's called marriage. But there's this joy afterwards. It's called holy matrimony that you stay committed to. Hey, how about staying committed to being a follower of Jesus? How about staying committed as an employee at your job by being a good? But they're giving me a hard time. They don't give me a raise and I deserve it. No, you're committed because the Bible says you work unto God, not unto man, even at our secular jobs. Right, everybody? How about, God bless you, how about staying committed to our church? I'll leave it at that, amen, because I'm dug in, and I'm not going to let go. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
God can do anything, right? But I'd have to say, no, he can't. I'm glad you woke up. God can't, you know what God can't do? He can't be second place in your life. He's a jealous God, and he doesn't do second. He just leaves. He said, hey, you want that? And the children of Israel, in our passage, they had substituted all this stuff. And they said, no, we'll take that instead of you. We'll do that instead of you. We'll obey that instead of you. And God said, you know what? You want that? I'm a very jealous God. And you can have that today. And so you've heard that term, having your cake and you eat it too? I never understood that, because if I have cake, I want to eat it. I'm going to eat the cake. Give me a good amen. But I think it meant something like this spiritually. It meant you're saved, but you're still doing the same junk that you used to do. The same sinful things. There's no difference in you. You still party the same way. You're still looking at pornography the same way. You're still acting the same way. Your attitude is the same way. And God is saying, yeah, you're saved. Well, why don't you act like you're saved and redeemed today, right, everybody? Because you're committed to God's plan for your life, and you're a disciple, and you're going to follow Jesus, right, everybody?
Amen.
And I love the passage. If the band could come up so we can finish up together, amen. You guys, yeah, you're going to come help me finish? Yes, go ahead, and let's go ahead and do that now, amen. And so oftentimes God gives you this promise in the Word, and it's filled with such, I'm going to forget the past. I'm going to give you something new. I'm going to give you the streams in the desert. I'm going to give you something so beautiful that you can have in your life. Yeah, they're up, man. Come on up. Yeah. And so, hey, second service, why don't you all sit close? That way you don't miss out with what we can do together. Amen. That'd be great today. In Luke chapter 17, are y'all there with me? Look at the big screen with me. Luke chapter 17, verse 31. Let's read this together out loud, not out soft today on three. One, two, three, go. And when that day arrives,
and you're out working in the yard, don't run into the house to get anything. And if you're out in the field, don't go back and get your coat. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you grasp and cling to life on your terms, you'll lose it. But if you let that life go, you'll get life on God's terms.
Aren't you glad Ricky's up here now? Man, I sure did need you back there, bro, when you were back there. You can keep the lights down if you want. And when that day arrives, 2017 is coming to an end, isn't it? No matter what, oh, I don't want to leave the, no, it's with or without you. 2018's coming, amen, a new beginning's happening today. And when you're working in the yard, do not run into the house to get anything. So your heart really is not in heaven, it's in the house. Your heart's not in God, it's in the house. And so that's why, and so when you're out in the field, do not go back and get your coats. And so God has put this deliverance in front of you, which has marked our calendar today, and he wants you to go forward towards that deliverance. And you're looking back, and you're saying, my deliverance is back there. No, it's not. It's going to end today. Right, everybody? And so it says, remember what happened to Lot's wife. Why don't you say that with me on three? One, two, three, go. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. And so it's just a glance. I'll look back, and it's just a glance. You know what was amazing? Why I don't understand why Lot's wife looked back. Her children were with her. The daughter, they were there. They were with her. So why are you looking back if the most important thing is really our family? I would make sure Andrew and Rebecca were with us, right, everybody? So would you. Yeah, are they with us? Are they going? And so there's no reason to look back. But she looked back, and she was that close. She almost made it into 2018 with God. And she turned into the pillar of salt. And you can almost make it to what God wants in your life. But you got to make the decision in your heart and the choice in your heart. I'm going to go forward. I'm going to clarify my vision today. I'm going to do what God's told me today. God has already set in motion. The clock is ticking. You just need to get on board with what God has for your life today. Will you follow Jesus? In the name of Jesus, will you follow Jesus? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we would change our focus today and we would quit looking back and start looking forward today. Lord, I've done my best to give God's people the message of faith today. And so, Lord, I leave it in your hands right now. I ask that they would discover what God would have for them today. You would provide for them today. Discover it today. You're in this place today and you want clarity of vision right now. You're a Christian today. You're a disciple of Jesus. You want to change your focus because you've had trouble. As much as it's sentimental to look back, God needs you to look forward. It doesn't mean you're going to forget. It's going to be a memory. But this sermon was dedicated to you right now. If you just got to get up and look forward because it's destroying you. It's keeping you from your call. That's not meant for you right now. That's just for somebody that's rising in my spirit right now. The Holy Spirit is here right at this moment to speak to you in prayer. And so if you want that, you're desireful of that, you make the choice right now. Just stick your hands right in front of you like you're receiving God's gift, and God will give you the gift of newness of life, of the stream and the wasteland and the way right now in the desert. Yes, Lord, if that's you, do be obedient to God. Just put your hands in front of you. Lord, I thank you for new relationships for my brothers and sisters. For that precious lady, God, I thank you, God. You're going to provide for her and her children today. There's going to be provision. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God, for the calling on that man's life today. It will be fulfilled. He'll go to greater heights, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you for Living Faith Church. The people have gathered here. And you're making ways, God, that we don't even know about at this hour, Lord. We'll rewrite history, Father, if you tarry, and because we have a year in front of us to do something that will bring glory to your name within our community. As I continue to pray, I always want to give you an opportunity to commit your life fully to God. You're in this room today. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to lift your hand slightly if that's you and you've never committed your heart to Jesus or you're far away from God at this very moment. God is into you right now so much that he committed himself so much to you that he gave his best, and his best was Jesus. And Jesus died for your sins today. I'm not going to be good enough. That's right, you're not going to be good enough. You never will be. That's why you need to humble yourself today and say, God, help me today. If that's you in this room, you want Christ in your life right where you're at, lift your hand and say, I need Jesus to come into my life. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just making sure.